Jesus, we raise our hallelujah here this morning. We welcome you into this place. We love to worship you, God.
Just wanna be with you.
be with you. I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you.
Praise the Spirit.
Jesus, we remember you in this holiday season. We remember that you came to this earth as an innocent child. And there was nothing fancy about your arrival. You came humbly down. And Lord, we want to be more like you. Lord, in our weakness, remind us of your strength. Remind us of your power. Lord, we just want to depend on you. Like Jesus did. And it is all for your glory and your majesty. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're so happy to see you all here this morning. You can go ahead and say hello to your neighbor, and we'll get into the announcements.
Hi everyone, my name is Philip and I serve with our young adults here at Harvest Time. We are so happy you can join us either in person or online. There's a lot coming up this holiday season at Harvest Time that you don't want to miss. On Sunday, December 20th, we will have a special kids Christmas program during both the 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. services. Please make sure to get your free tickets online at htchurch.com to reserve your child's spot. We have something special planned and you don't want to miss it. Later on that evening, we will be having a Christmas caroling sing-along for the whole family. Join us outside in the Harvest Time parking lot December 20th at 6 p.m. to celebrate the birth of our King. Dress warm and invite your friends and family. That's all for this week's news. Let's lean in and prepare our hearts to receive God's word.
Everyone, my name is Denise Boucher, and I'm excited to share how the Lord healed my back last Sunday. Prior to coming to church, I was in a lot of pain for a week with my back, and to the point of limping when I was walking. So I limped coming into church on Sunday, and I left walking normal with no burning pain in my back. I believe this happened during praise and worship. The team was singing the song Rattle, and the verse that says, since when has impossible ever stopped you? I cried out to the Lord at that point, and I said, that's right, nothing's impossible for you, God. And I believe Caleb said something is shifting, and I said, that's right, Lord, you can shift my back right into place and make it straight again. And with that, I left it in the Lord's hands, and I really didn't think about it until I got to my car and said to myself, I walk normal and the pain is gone. And I am still pain-free, and my back feels straight and normal. So I am grateful and thankful and excited that God is moving in this church, and the gifts of healing are in operation here. And I encourage anyone to just step out in faith, because God is willing and able to heal us. That's it. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We are so glad that you came to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? We want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning at the 8:30 a.m. service. We are so grateful that we're connected by the Spirit of God and so thankful for technology that allows us to worship together even from a distance this morning. We want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. The Lord has brought us through this year and we're so grateful to Him and we are so grateful to you for all of your giving throughout the year. As we come down to the end of 2020, we're just asking your help from our whole Harvest Time Church family. We need about $180,000 to end the year in the black in the month of December. And then, hold on to your seatbelts, I'm asking the Lord for another $180,000 for the 1st of January for a vision the Lord has given us for the new year. And so we're just asking every member of our HTC family to do your very best in the month of December to pray and ask the Lord how He might use you to give. And if you have the ability to make a gift at the end of this year, we are so grateful. Because of social distancing, we will not be passing an offering plate in the sanctuary. If you brought an offering today, we have offering boxes at all of the entrances and exits, and you can drop your offering in as you leave the sanctuary today. You can give securely to Harvest Time anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. You can click the giving link, and it will prompt you in how to give online. Wanted to let everybody know that today is Communion Sunday, and at the end of the service, after the sermon, we'll be receiving communion together. Because of social distancing, we won't have you come forward to receive communion as we typically do. We have servings of communion in the lobby as you come in, and if you didn't pick up a serving of communion, you might want to just slip out and get a serving of communion for you and your family before the word begins. If you're worshiping with us from home, you can quickly just put together a little communion, some juice and a cracker or whatever you have, and share communion with us at the end of the sermon today. Just before we look at Luke chapter 2, a couple quick things. On Sunday, December 20th, we are going to have a special kids ministry program during the 10 and the 11:30 service. Our friend Pastor Judy Mensch is coming. We're going to have a great Christmas program for the kids in phase one while the worship service is going on here in the sanctuary. And then after the new year, we're going to fully reopen our Sunday morning kids ministries once again. And so thanks to all of our moms and dads for your patience while we had a little setback with COVID. And just trusting the Lord's going to help us to get reopened and minister to our kids once again. Also on December 20th, we are celebrating 21 years of faithful ministry from Pastor Faith, our executive pastor. Pastor Faith is retiring and joining Tom in retirement. And so on Sunday, December 20th, at the end of every service, we're going to have a celebration downstairs for Pastor Faith. And I hope you'll just come downstairs and bring a card. Let Pastor Faith know how much we love and how much we deeply appreciate all of her service to the Lord and to our church family. If you have your Bible or your Bible apps, I want to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, I have a word from the Lord to share today about welcoming a new Jesus movement. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in the verse 21. Take a look at the screens while you find your way there.
What may be a little Christmas, right this very minute. In the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute.
It hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry.
So climb down the chimney. It's been a long time since I felt good neighbory.
Slice up the fruitcake. It's time we hung some tinsel on that Bayberry bough.
Happy ever after, need a little Christmas now.
How many of you know we need a little Christmas right now? We need the hope that Christmas brings. And for the next couple of Sundays leading up to Christmas, we're going to be looking together at some of the characters in the Christmas story. And I believe that as we come to the close of a very strange and a very difficult year, God has some encouraging words of vision to speak to us. Look with me in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 21. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about welcoming a new Jesus movement. Welcoming a new Jesus movement. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21. The Bible says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God, and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Let's talk for a few minutes about welcoming a new Jesus movement. So, all five members of our family have had COVID now, three of us here in Connecticut and both of our twins while they were away at university in Oklahoma, and we're so grateful that all five of us have recovered and none of us have any long-term complications. I don't know about you, but I have learned so much through this year. I've learned so much more about trusting Jesus than ever before. I've learned so much about his faithfulness. I've learned so much about his sustaining grace. After building phase one and then building this new sanctuary, I thought I knew a little something about faith, but I want to tell you, I have learned more about faith this year than in the last 20 years put together. It was while I was at home in COVID quarantine that the Lord dropped this morning's sermon into my spirit. I was listening to our friend Dr. Rob Reamer. We're so grateful for his ministry to us 2 weeks ago. Three times during the COVID crisis, God has spoken to me about our future here at HTC. At the beginning of the COVID shutdown, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Upheaval precedes revival." I truly believe with all my heart that a tremendous spiritual renewal is coming quickly to America and around the whole world. Halfway through this year, the Lord spoke to me while I was at the golf club just across the street, and he said to me, "People are coming." And I understood that the Lord meant that people from Greenwich who have never been attracted to us before were going to be drawn to us. You know, that started happening late this summer and this fall, and it's still happening. Now at the end of the year, while I was listening to Dr. Rob, the Lord gave me another word. Listen, he said to me, personal revivals precede public revival. Personal revivals precede public revival. I didn't know that Pastor Rob pastored the same church for over 20 years. He looks way too young and he looks way too relaxed for that. And when I found that out, I felt a bond of brotherhood with him because I've pastored here for 24 years, going on 25 now. But Dr. Rob said something that touched my heart so deeply. He developed amazing discipleship tools to foster revival in his congregation, but he never saw it arrive on the scale that perhaps he envisioned it would come. But he said, this touched my heart. He said, even if I never see it, I'm going to keep working with all my strength and giving everything I have to bring revival in the next generation. And I so connected with that heart cry, with that passion, with that commitment. But the Lord immediately dropped a follow-up thought into my mind. In the meantime, listen, in the meantime, while we are actively waiting and while we are working toward a public revival, we can live in an experience of personal revival. And then the Lord woke me up at 4:00 one morning and he gave me this word, personal revivals precede public revival. I want to tell you, I truly believe with all my heart that we are in a pre-revival season here at HTC. I believe in 2021, God is going to do extraordinary things. And that means that this right now is a season for personal revivals. In Luke's version of the Christmas story, there are two figures that stand out as living in an experience of personal revival that came ahead of public revival, a respected Jewish elder named Simeon and a godly prophetic intercessor named Anna. Together, Simeon and Anna represent the very best of Old Covenant Judaism. They were exemplary in every way, and they officially welcomed the new Jesus movement. They officially welcomed the new move of God on the earth that came in the divine person of Jesus and through him. Looking at Simeon and Anna, I want to share a few thoughts this morning about what it means to live in personal revival. Few thoughts about what it means to live in personal revival. On your way in, you received a program. There's an outline of today's sermon. If you like, you can watch the screens, listen, fill in the blanks, follow along. If you'd like to have a copy of the sermon outline at home, there is a link to a PDF file in the chat section. You can click on that and download the sermon outline and follow along. A few thoughts about living in personal revival. First, personal revival means to experience God's holy presence. Personal revival means to experience God's holy presence. We know that Anna was an elderly woman. People smarter than me disagree about whether Luke means that she was 84 years old or that she had been a widow for 84 years, which would make her over 100. Luke doesn't say that Simeon was an old man, but Simeon was a Jewish elder, and we get the impression that he had been waiting for the arrival of the Jewish Messiah for a long time. The end of his earthly life was in view. But listen, I love what Luke says. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Spirit of God was upon him. The consolation of Israel was a title for the Messiah taken from Isaiah's prophecies. The Greek word is paraklesis, the comfort of Israel. Can I tell you that comfort is the same word that Jesus used for the Holy Spirit? I will ask the Father, and he will send you another Parakletos. He will send you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So listen, this is so cool. This is awesome right here. While Simeon was awaiting for the public emergence of the Messiah, the Paracletus of Israel, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, was upon him. That's good. While Simeon was waiting to see a widespread public manifestation of revival, he had a personal experience with God. While he was waiting for a big move of God, he personally experienced in microcosm the very thing that he was waiting upon. He wasn't alone either. Zechariah, Elizabeth, the infant John in the womb, Joseph, Mary, the Bethlehem shepherds, Anna, they all experienced it too. Personal revivals precede public revival. I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart that widespread public move of God is coming very soon. In the meantime, while we're actively waiting for it to break out, I believe God has prepared for us a personal experience of the very thing that we are longing to see on a grand scale. While you're waiting for revival to break out, the Spirit who brings revival is already resting on you. While you're waiting for spiritually dead people to come alive in Christ en masse, the Spirit who brings life is already resting on you. While you're waiting for healing miracles to begin on a large scale, the Spirit who brings gifts of healing is already resting on you. While you're waiting for prophecy to come forth and be fulfilled, the Spirit of prophecy, who is the Spirit of Christ, is already resting on you. While you're waiting for peace on earth, the Spirit who distributes the inheritance of Jesus Shalom to us is already resting on you. While you're waiting for masses of sin-broken people to find comfort and healing in Christ, the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit is already resting on you. Holy Presence. And that's good preaching right there. Few thoughts about what it means to live in personal revival. Here's another thought. Personal revival means to experience holy anticipation. Holy anticipation. When the Holy Spirit rests on you, he makes God's promises in the Bible personally applicable to you. The Holy Spirit draws your attention to certain Bible promises, and he creates within you a holy anticipation that you are going to personally experience and see the fulfillment of that. That's exactly what happened to Simeon. While Simeon was waiting for Messiah, the Parakletos of Israel, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, rested upon Simeon, and he drew Simeon's attention to the prophecies in the book of Isaiah, and the Holy Spirit created within Simeon a holy knowing that before he died, he would see the Messiah with his own eyes. And listen, the Holy Spirit does the very same thing in our lives. He directs us to promises in God's Word, and he gives us an anticipation that we are going to personally experience and see the fulfillment of that. When I became the senior pastor of Harvest Time, I was young and I was green, and I had very big shoes to fill. We had 6 months to come up with $1.5 million to purchase this piece of property, and quite frankly, I was scared. But the Holy Spirit drew my attention to a promise in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and very courageous. As I was with Moses, I'll also be with you. Be strong and very courageous. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, and you will lead these people into their inheritance. The Holy Spirit created a knowing inside of my heart that I would personally experience and I would see with my own eyes the fulfillment of that promise. That's how I knew we would finish phase one, even though it was a huge challenge for a green young pastor and a small congregation. That's how I knew we would finish phase two when we had absolutely no money and we had a deadline by which we had to start construction. I knew I would see it with my own eyes. Listen, I have a word for somebody listening this morning, whether it's you here in the sanctuary or online. Listen, hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to them and don't you dare let go of them. David said, I would have quit. I would have given up hope. I would have fainted unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God, the fulfillment of his promises in my life while I was still living. That promise from Joshua 1 carried me for 20 years until we saw it all fulfilled. In January of last year, 2019, I began crying out to the Lord. I said, Lord, if I'm going to stay here, I need a new word for a new season in this new sanctuary. The Holy Spirit directed me to the miracle of the coin in the fish's mouth. I had never before preached on that passage nor studied it. But Jesus tells Peter to go down to the sea and to put a hook in the water. You know, it's the only place I discovered in the New Testament where anybody fishes with a hook. In the Sea of Galilee, they used nets. And I was just reflecting on the irony of Jesus, the carpenter, telling Peter, the fisherman, how to do his business. It would be a little bit like me giving advice to my friend Jonathan about how to put up tile. In that moment, the Holy Spirit gave me my word for this new season. He said, Glenn, keep doing what you already know how to do, but I'm going to show you a whole new way to do it, and I'm going to add my blessing to it. Here's what I know. I know I received a mandate from the Lord to build this sanctuary to accommodate a move of God, a new Jesus movement that's coming very soon. And here's what I know. When it arrives, this sanctuary is not going to be big enough to accommodate the people who are coming. People are going to be pressed against those glass doors wanting to get in to experience what God is doing in this place. I have seen it in my dreams. And I know that we're going to see it before God calls us onward. A few thoughts about living in personal revival. Holy presence, holy anticipation. Here's another thought. Personal revival means to live with holy purpose. For Simeon and Anna, holy anticipation became the purpose of their lives. Their time, their efforts, their energy was focused on ushering in the advent of the Messiah. Simeon was an elder. Anna was an intercessor. And they gave themselves to their ministries. So much so that when Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms, he said, Lord, you can take me home now. My work here is finished. Simeon didn't have plans to retire on the Mediterranean seacoast and live out his golden years sipping little fruity drinks with umbrellas in them. Simeon's life was consumed with the cause of seeing a Jesus movement start in Israel. And when he held Jesus in his arms, his aspirations were complete. He said, you can beam me up now, Lord. You know, John the Baptist was the very same way. When Jesus began his earthly ministry and people left John the Baptist and they flocked to Jesus, John's disciples were offended. They were hurt for his sake. John said, no, no, no. The best man's job is to wait for the bridegroom to arrive. And when the best man hears the bridegroom's voice, he rejoices. That joy is mine and it's now complete. I must decrease, but he must increase. You know, St. Paul felt the same way. He said, everything else in my life has taken second place compared to the surpassing excellence of knowing Jesus and fulfilling his call on my life. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if a man hasn't found something he will die for, he isn't fit to live. When the Holy Spirit rests on you, he gives you a holy cause to live for and to give your life for, until God calls you home. A few thoughts about living in personal revival. Here's another thought. Personal revival means to have holy perspective. Personal revival means to have holy perspective. Don't have time to dive here, but Simeon and Anna, they thought differently than those around them. In Messiah, most of the Jewish people were looking for a political leader who would make their earthly situation better. They were looking for freedom from Roman occupation. They were looking for relief from heavy Roman taxes. But Simeon and Anna weren't like most people. They weren't looking for a political leader. They were looking for a spiritual revival. They saw that Israel's biggest problem was not Caesar, but the sinful condition of people's hearts. When Simeon held Jesus in his arms, he didn't see the arrival of a political reformer or a social reformer. He didn't see an earthly revolutionary. Simeon saw in Jesus a Savior sent from heaven to rescue people from the grip of sin and its deadly consequences. And God wants us to look at Jesus and to see the very same thing. Beloved, listen to me, please. In the wake of this crazy COVID year and this tumultuous election season, perhaps God wants to restore to us a little holy perspective. America's greatest hope is not a politician on one side of the aisle or the other. God will have his way in America no matter who thinks they're in charge. Just ask Pharaoh or Abimelech or Nebuchadnezzar. America's greatest need is a spiritual revival, because America's greatest problem is not political, but it is a sin problem, and the answer is Jesus Christ and his cross. During our prayer and fasting for America this last fall, the Holy Spirit led me to begin praying this way, that such a massive grassroots revival would break out in America that it doesn't matter who the lawmakers are nor what laws are on the books. My prayer is that such a spiritual awakening happens that it really doesn't matter if Planned Parenthood is still open. They won't have any customers. Led by the Holy Spirit, people will stop having destructive sex outside of the beautiful covenant of marriage, and women will stop killing their babies in their womb. Led by the Holy Spirit, men will be secure in their masculinity, and women will be secure in their femininity, and gender dysphoria and the confusion and all the madness that accompanies it will just disappear out of our culture. Can I tell you, it can happen. Led by the Holy Spirit, college and high school students will discern the truth no matter what garbage is flung at them from across lecterns. This is my prayer. God, send a revival at the grassroots level that eclipses what they're doing in Washington, what they do in the White House or in the Capitol building or the Supreme Court or in any of our state governments. I came into Christ during the Jesus movement of the early 70s. And I believe that with all my heart, before my run in ministry is over, I believe we're going to see a new Jesus movement on such a scale that it's going to eclipse what God did back then. As 2021 draws to a close, let's be like Simeon and Anna. Let's direct our energy and our efforts towards ushering in the real change that America and the world needs. And that's good preaching right there. Few thoughts about living in personal revival: holy presence, holy anticipation, holy purpose, holy perspective. Gotta hurry. Number five, personal revival means to respond with holy reception. I have often heard it said that when there's a new move of God, mature adults are the most resistant to it. Nothing could be further from the truth, and Simeon and Anna bear witness to that. Far from wanting the status quo, old Simeon and Anna, they were longing for and praying in a new move of God. And when they saw Jesus, they immediately embraced him with great joy. Listen, here is a word for somebody. People who love God, people who are immersed in the Word of God, people who are in tune with the Holy Spirit, never have a problem recognizing and embracing a new move of God. At any age, when they see it, they know it, and they celebrate it. They recognize it as being consistent with the character and with the ways of God. On the other hand, people who are religious hypocrites, people who are secular-minded, carnal, and hard of heart, always reject the move of God, whether they're old or whether they're young. The rich young synagogue ruler who turned away from Jesus sadly comes to mind. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're always looking for God, what God will do next, and you are ready to receive it. Another thought about living in personal revival. Personal revival means to experience holy promptings. The Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. He revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die before he saw the Messiah. And then the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple at the precise time that Jesus was there with his parents. Herod's temple was a massive complex. But the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the precise place where he would find Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And the Holy Spirit brought Anna to the same place at precisely the same time. You see, when you live in personal revival, the Holy Spirit will prompt you to be in the right place at the right time to experience what God is doing. I wonder how long Simeon scanned the crowd in the court of women before he spotted the Holy Family. I wonder if Simeon asked himself, did I hear right? Am I in the right place? Is this the right time? Am I where I'm supposed to be? I have a word for somebody this morning. Right now, God is moving people into position. Some of you are wondering how on earth you got to Harvest Time Church. In fact, this is a place you thought you'd never be interested in, yet you're here. And why is it you're here? Because right now God is moving people into position. This is a season of pre-revival, and God has brought you here now because you're living in personal revival, and you have a role to play in what's coming. Listen, I want to tell you, we have had some very, very exciting times in the Spirit in the past, but from my perspective as the pastor of this church, what God is doing in this place right now is the most exciting thing I've seen him do in 24 years. God is assembling gifted people in this place for such a time as this. Come on, give the Lord a praise, would you, this morning? Almost done. Another thought about living in personal revival, it means to speak holy pronouncements. Personal revival means to speak holy pronouncements. The Holy Spirit inspired Simeon and Anna to open their mouths in inspired praise and in prophecy. They confirmed what God was doing at the moment, and they also foretold what God was about to do. For a period of about 400 years before Jesus came, God had been largely silent. The gift of prophecy was dormant. The Jewish people believed that when Messiah came, the ministry of prophecy would be restored to Israel. And in the Gospel of Luke, before Jesus bursts onto the scene, people living in personal revival begin to prophesy. Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, Joseph and Mary, now Simeon and Anna. When we live in personal revival, the Holy Spirit inspires us the same way. He anoints our lips to confirm what God is doing in the moment and to announce what more God is going to do. I have a word for somebody. As we come into 2021, anticipate an increase in prophetic activity in the body of Christ, and increase and anticipate that God is going to use you increasingly in the gift of prophecy to begin speaking over people what God is about to do in their lives. Few thoughts about living in personal revival, holy presence, holy anticipation. purpose, perspective, reception, promptings, pronouncements, final thought, worship team, come help me. Personal revival means to finish your journey. I love this. This is my favorite part right here. Personal revival means to finish your journey with holy peace of mind. Just before we transition and we share communion together, let me share one last thought with you. Simeon only held Jesus in his arms for one brief moment. He only witnessed the arrival of Jesus in infancy. 30 years later, when Jesus started his public ministry, Simeon wasn't there to witness the crowds of thousands in Galilee and in the Judean wilderness and even in Samaria. Simeon wasn't there to hear the most amazing teaching ever uttered from the lips of a man and heard by the ears of men. Simeon wasn't there to witness the healing miracles of Christ, nor to eat the bread that had been supernaturally multiplied in the hands of Jesus. He wasn't there for any of it. But because Simeon lived in personal revival, he went home to heaven thoroughly satisfied. This is good right here. Come on, I'm 54. For anybody, I know some of you can't relate, but for some of us, this is good right here. He never saw it with his eyes, but he saw in the Spirit what would come through the life and the ministry of Jesus, and it was enough for him. That was also the experience of Abraham. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day." It was the experience of Joseph, whose bones were carried up out of Egypt. He never saw it, but he knew in the Spirit it was coming. It was the experience of Moses. It was the experience of King David, who amassed everything for the construction of the temple. And though he never saw it with his eyes, he knew what God was going to do in that place. He saw in the Spirit the dedication day when the Shekinah glory of God filled the house and the priests couldn't stand and minister. It was the experience of St. Paul, who from a Roman prison said, "I'm confident of this very thing, Philippians. He who began a good work in you, he's going to bring it all the way to completion." Just before we share communion together, I have one last word for somebody today. When the Lord finally calls you home a long time from now, you're going to leave this earth with holy peace in your soul. You're going to finish your journey satisfied with your experience in Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to finish your journey with full confidence that you have made an eternal contribution on a very large scale. Like Simeon, you're going to say, "Lord, I'm ready to come home. I have seen the fulfillment of your promises. My eyes have seen your salvation." As we come to the threshold of 2021, take these words to heart. Upheaval precedes revival. People are coming, and personal revivals precede public revival. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, give him a good praise this morning. He's worthy. Come on, let's worship, and then we're going to receive communion together. Help us out, team.
We're going to sing praise.
Praise forever to the King.
just one moment for our final act of worship. We're going to receive communion together. But just before we do, I want to pray for you. Can't help feeling like there's someone listening today and there's a question in your heart, but how do I live in personal revival? How do I get that experience that Simeon and Anna had? How do I get that presence while I'm waiting for the consolation of Israel? How do I get that presence of the Comforter with me? Can I tell you, because of Jesus, it's really very easy. Jesus said all we have to do is ask. He said, if your earthly fathers, flawed though they may be, if they know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit if you ask Him? But the way to begin living in personal revival is to invite Christ into your heart. Ask Him to come in and ask Him to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just before we take communion, I'm wondering if there's someone here today and you've never done that. We call it a prayer of believing on Jesus, an invitation asking Him to come into our heart and to bring the beautiful presence, the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. I'm just wondering, before we share communion, I'm wondering if there's someone, you've never prayed a prayer like that, and you'd like to pray that prayer with us today. Or perhaps you prayed a prayer like that a long time ago and a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, and you'd like to pray it again for the first time in a long time. Would you bow your heads with me for just one moment? And all I'm going to ask you to do, if you'd like to pray a prayer of believing with me for the first time or the first time in a long time, all I want to ask you to do is just right where you're standing, would you lift your hand, and I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me right there from your seat. Is there someone here you'd like to pray a prayer of believing on Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time? Would you lift your hand where I can see it? Come on, there's one, there's two, there's three. Someone else this morning, you'd like to join us praying a prayer of believing on Jesus, inviting Him. Would you lift your hand just where I can see it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask everybody, if you're willing, would you lift your hands with us? And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want to invite everybody, if you're willing, would you just say this prayer with me? And let's ask Jesus to give us the Spirit, the Paracletos, the Paracletos, the Comforter, the Spirit with us. Come on, let's pray. I'll lead, you follow in a nice, clear voice. Let's pray. Father, oh, come on, I know you can do better. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only Son. Jesus, thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I'm inviting you in. Cleanse me. Forgive my sins. Make me a new person. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me live in personal revival. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you give the Lord a good praise in this place today? Listen, if you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, as soon as our service is over, our pastors are going to be right here. They'll be wearing their masks. We'd love to just greet you quickly, and we want to pray a prayer of blessing over you before you leave and just celebrate the decision that you made today and the invitation you made to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. If you have your servings of communion, you can find those. We're going to receive together now. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, I receive from the Lord, but I also pass on to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father, thank you that you so loved us that you gave Jesus, your only son. Lord, thank you that his body was broken so that we could be made whole in every way. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away every sin stain. Though our sins were crimson, Lord, you've washed us whiter than snow. Lord, thank you for the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, now by faith in the cross of Calvary, we receive everything purchased for us. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? Let's receive communion together. You can go ahead and receive the bread. And after you've received the bread, you can go ahead and receive the cup. Let's take together. After the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Would you just give him a little thanks right now? We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Renew us, refresh us, restore us, revive us. Lord, let us live in an experience, in a place of personal revival. Come on, church. Would you thank him one more time? We thank you, O Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. The worship team's going to sing one more time. You can be dismissed. I'm going to put on my mask. I'll greet you out in the foyer. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus.
In the middle of the storm.